No, may Allah's mercy be upon you, that there are many ways that can breach one's tawheed of Allah. And that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it very clear that mankind must follow Islam, halt and dissociate from all the means that will produce contradictions to Islam. The declaration that La ilaha illallah not only negates all false deities and confirms worship only to Allah, it also requires the complete dissociation from any form of worship to any false deity, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains this in the Quran by saying, La ikraha fi al-deen fattabayyan al-rushdu min al-ghay, فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, Ayah 256, there is no compulsion in religion. Verily the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. Whoever disbelieves in Tawgut, which constitutes the false deities, and believes in Allah, then he has grasped the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. Furthermore, to declare that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the messenger and slave of Allah, Muhammad Rasulullah, requires the belief that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trusted by Allah to deliver the message of Islam, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has completed this, and that he must be followed and obeyed, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hashr, which is Surah 59 and Ayah 7, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُوا وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعِقَابِ. And whatsoever the messenger gives you, take it, and whatsoever he forbids, abstain from it, and fear Allah, verily Allah is severe in punishment. All the ways and methods that are needed by the Muslim to fulfill this declaration of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah are explained in the Quran and by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warned that there are ways that lead to shirk, kufr, and rejection of faith. The Muslim must be very knowledgeable about tawheed so that he does not indulge in practices and concepts that contradict the essence of tawheed. And the most dangerous and widely existing ways that breach tawheed are, number one, shirk in the worship of Allah. To associate something and or anyone in the worship of Allah is forbidden in Islam. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَنْ يُشْرَكَ بِهِ وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ وَمَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ ضَلَّ ضَلَالًا بَعِيدًا. In Surah An-Nisa, which is Surah 4, Ayah 116, verily Allah forgives not the sin of setting up rivals in worship with Him, but He gives, or He forgives whom He pleases, other sins than that. And that this person who commits shirk and dies on that will be deprived from entering al-Jannah. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ وَمَأْوَاهُ النَّارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ وَمَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ مِنْ أَنْصَارِ. سورة المائدة, سورة 5, آية 72. Verily, whosoever sets up rivals in worship with Allah, then Allah has forbidden al-Jannah for him, and the fire will be his abode. The second contradiction to Islam is to set up intermediaries between a person and Allah, calling upon them and seeking their intercession and depending upon them. Those who do this are taking associates with Allah, and this is shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَا تَجْعَلُوا لِلَّهِ أَنْدَادًا وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, Ayah 22. Then set not up rivals with Allah while you know well the fact. The fact that He is alone, He is the one who deserves to be worshipped alone. This is in Surah 2, Ayah 22. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked, which sin is the gravest? He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you set up rivals unto Allah despite the fact that He has created you. This is collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Further, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ وَلَا يَضُرُّكَ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In Surah Yunus, Surah 10, Ayah 106, and call not on other than Allah any that will neither profit you nor hurt you, but if in case you do so, or you did so, you shall certainly be one of الظَّالِمِينَ who commits shirk. The third contradiction is not to believe that the mushrikeen, those who commit shirk, are in fact kuffar, or doubt their kufr, or defend, or to defend and to correct the beliefs of the kuffar. Then the person who does this convictionally, then he is a kafir himself. This is one of the greatest contradictions to tawheed. Many Muslims are reluctant and feel ashamed to say the word kafir to describe a disbeliever, or to point out their act of shirk. Some even look at the kuffar with great deal of admiration, fear, and obedience. Those have an inferiority complex that leads them to become blind followers and defenders of the kuffar and their way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَلَّهُمْ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنْهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَخْدِ الْقَوْمَ الظَّالِمِينَ. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, Ayah 51, and he amongst you who take them wholeheartedly as friends, then surely he is one of them. This is Surah 5, Ayah 51. The Muslim's position about these matters must be a dissociation from kufr and shirk and love to Allah alone. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is to be loved, and his love is the obedience and following of his message. The believers are to be loved, and the Sahaba on top of those are the best of mankind. لا يستخذ المؤمنون الكافرين أولياء من دون المؤمنين ومن يفعل ذلك فليس من الله في شيء إلا أن تتقوا منهم تقاة ويعلمكم الله ويحذركم الله نفسه وإلى الله المصير. In Surah Al-Imran, Surah 3, Ayah 28, let not the believers take the disbelievers, awliya, supporters, helpers, etc., instead of believers. And whoever does that will never be helped by Allah in any way, except if you indeed fear a danger from them. And Allah warns you against Himself, His punishment, and to Allah is the final return. The fourth contradiction. We also believe that guidance by someone other than the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better, or that the ruling by other than the rule of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better, then they are themselves kuffar. The rule of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the rule of Allah. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أَنْكُسِهِمْ حَرَجًا مِمَّا قَضَيْتَ وَيُسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا. In Surah An-Nisa, Surah 4, Ayah 65, but know by your Rabb, your Lord, they can have no faith until they make you judge in all disputes between them, and find in their souls no resistance against your decision, but accept them fully with submission. And the fifth contradiction. Whoever hates any command or anything of the Prophet ﷺ message, although he may be practicing it, becomes a kafir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ كَرِهُوا مَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. That is because they hate that which Allah has sent down. So He has made their deeds fruitless. So to wholeheartedly hate what Allah has sent down brings kufr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالَهُمْ. He has made their deeds fruitless. This is in Surah Muhammad, Surah 47, Ayah 9. The sixth contradiction, any person who mocks any part of Islam or any of Allah's names and attributes becomes a kafir. وَلَئِن سَأَلْتَهُمْ لَيَقُولُنَّ إِنَّمَا كُنَّا نَخُوضُ وَنَلْعَبُ قُلْ أَبِاللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ وَرَسُولِهِ كُنْتُمْ تَسْتَهْزِئُونَ. In Surah Al-Tawbah, Ayah 65, was it as Allah and His sign and His messenger that you were mocking? Make no excuse. You have disbelieved, became kuffar after you have believed. The seventh contradiction, involvement in magic, including practicing or accepting ways that may, number one, sway man from the good things he likes, example, using magic to sow discord between a man and his wife, or to reduce man to do what he dislikes or is bad for him. These ways of magic are satanic. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَفَرَ سُلَيْمَانُ وَلَكِنَّ الشَّيَاطِينَ كَفَرُوا. Solomon did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved. يُعَلِّمُونَ النَّاسَ السِّحْرَ, teaching men magic. وَمَا أُنزِلَ عَلَى الْمَلَكَيْنِ بِبَابِلَ هَارُوتَ وَمَارُوتَ. وَمَا يُعَلِّمَانِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ حَتَّى يَقُولَا إِنَّمَا نَحْنُ فِتْنَةٌ فَلَا تَكْفُرْ. فَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مِنْهُمَا مَا يُفَرِّقُونَ بِهِ بَيْنَ الْمَرْءِ وَزَوْجِهِ وَمَا هُمْ بِضَارِّينَ بِهِ مِنْ أَحَدٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنفَعُهُمْ وَيَتَعَلَّمُونَ مَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَلَقَدْ عَلِمُوا لَمَنِ اشْتَرَاهُ مَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ خَلَاقٍ وَلَبِئْسَ مَا شَرَوْا بِهِ أَنفُسَهُمْ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. In Surah Al-Baqarah 102, Solomon did not disbelieve, but the devils disbelieved, teaching them magic and such things that came down at the Balaam to the two angels, Harut and Marut. But neither of these two angels taught anyone such things, so they had said, we are only for trial, so disbelieve not by learning the magic from us. So magic is a satanic way, and it's led by shaitan and his soldiers. Quran, in the surah, this was in the Quran, in Surah 2, Ayah 102. Today we see many people
seek help from the so-called fortune tellers. They believe that these tellers know what Allah or what will happen. This is kufr. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم warned that من أتى عرافا أو كاهنا فصدقه بما يقول فقد كفر بما أنزل على محمد. حديث صحيح في صحيح الجامع برقم 5939. Whoever goes to a priest, soothsayer or a fortune teller, who goes to a fortune teller and believes him in what he says, has committed kufr and denied what was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is an authentic hadith reported in Sahih al-Jami', which is a collection of authentic narrations verified by the scholar of hadith of this time, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, in volume 2, number 5939. The mind contradiction. Whoever believes that some special quote-unquote people don't have to follow the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, then he is a kafir, because he negates the second part of the declaration of Tawheed, Muhammadun Rasulullah. Such a person has desired a religion other than Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَبْتَرِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. In Surah Al-Imran, which is Surah 3, Ayah 85, and whoever desires a religion other than Islam, it will never be accepted from him. And in the hereafter, he will be one of the losers. This is, in, as I said, in Al-Imran, which is Surah 3, Ayah 85. The tenth contradiction. The one who completely turns away from the religion of Allah, does not learn it, and does not practice it, becomes a kafir. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنْ ذُكِّرَ بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِ ثُمَّ أَعْرَضَ عَنْهَا إِنَّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ مُنْتَقِمُونَ. In Surah Al-Sajdah, which is Surah 32, Ayah 22, and who does wrong then? The one to whom are recited the ayat, proofs, evidences, verses, revelations, etc. of his Rabb, his Lord, then he turns aside therefrom. Verily, we shall exact retribution from the mujrimeen, the criminals, disbelievers, polytheists, sinners, etc. Finally, it must be pointed out that there is no difference in accountability between the one who seriously commits any of the above acts or the one who claims to be just joking, playing, or mocking. The only exception is when someone commits any of these acts under compulsion. Even then, his heart must be filled with faith and tawheed of Allah. The third subject of particular importance that is very well related to the issue of Tawheed is quite the opposite, is the shirk itself. And it helps us really understand how an aspect of worship could turn to something which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like, does not love, and does not condone. The definition of shirk is to associate anyone or anything in the worship of Allah, or to set up rivals with Allah. And in fact, this is the only sin which Allah does not forgive. قال تعالى إن الله لا يغفر أن يشرك به ويغفر ما دون ذلك لمن يشاء. Verily, Allah forgives not that rivals should be set up in worship with Him, but He forgives. That aspect of shirk, he forgives anything else to whom he subhanahu wa ta'ala pleases. This is in Surah An-Nisa, Ayah 48. There are two kinds of shirk. A shirk al-akbar, the major shirk, and a shirk al-asghar, or the minor shirk. First, the major shirk. This shirk, committing this shirk, takes the Muslim out of Islam. And there are several forms of this type of shirk that the Muslim should be aware of. And the following are several manifestations of this major shirk. Number one, shirk al-du'a, shirk of invocation. To call other than Allah, such as a prophet or a religious man, seeking, for example, a sustenance or cure from an illness, for example. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَدْعُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَنْفَعُكَ أَوْ يَضُرُّكَ فَإِنْ فَعَلْتَ فَإِنَّكَ إِذًا مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ, أي من المشركين. In Surah Yunus, Ayah 106, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and call not other than Allah any that will neither benefit you or harm you or hurt you. In any case, in case you do so, you shall certainly be one of the wrongdoers, those who commit shirk. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَمَّا تَوَهُوَ يَدْعُ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مِدًّا دَخَلَ النَّارِ حديث صحيح رواه البخاري. Whoever dies while calling a rival besides Allah will enter hell. The hadith is authentic and collected by Imam al-Bukhari. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ تَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِهِ مَا يَمْلِكُونَ مِن قِطْمِيرٍ إِن تَدْعُوهُمْ لَا يَسْمَعُوا دُعَاءَكُمْ وَلَوْ سَمِعُوا مَا اسْتَجَابُوا لَكُمْ وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يَكْفُرُونَ بِشِرْكِكُمْ وَلَا يُنَبِّئُكَ مِثْلُ خَبِيرٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a vivid parable or an example about those whom people call besides Allah, from righteous men, from dead, from alive, etc. Those that people have made them divine, that they think they benefit them or harm them. Allah reminds mankind that, and those whom you invoke instead of Allah, on not even the thin membrane over the date stone. If you take a date and you hammer it on a stone, you'll see a thin membrane that sticks on the surface of the stone. This is very, very, very thin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, they don't even own the thin membrane over the date stone. If you invoke them, they will not hear to your call, and if in case they were to hear, they could not grant it to request, meaning to them, or to you. They cannot grant your request that you requested them with whatever you thought they could give you. And on the day of resurrection, they will deny your worshipping them. And none can inform you, O Muhammad, like him, Allah, who is the knower of all things. This is in Surah Fatir, Ayah 13 and 14. The second aspect of the major shirk or kind is the shirk in the attributes of Allah. Shirk fi sifatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To believe that someone may have divine attributes, for example, to believe that a prophet or a righteous man can know the unseen. While Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ لَا يَعْلَمُهَا إِلَّهُ in Surah Al-An'am, Surah 6, Ayah 59, and with him are the keys of the unseen. None can or none knows them but he, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third aspect of shirk, and I have to say something here about knowing the unseen. There are several groups and sects who claim to be Muslim, and they think that their sheikhs or their leaders or such a righteous man among them, they know the unseen. In fact, amongst the Shia, there are those who believe that their imams know the unseen and that they are better than the prophets and better than the angels. And this is itself is plain kufr, plain shirk. The third aspect of shirk is shirkul mahabba, shirk of love. To love someone to the same degree as you love Allah is shirk. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ In Surah Al-Baqarah, Surah 2, Ayah 165, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yet of mankind are some who take for worship others besides Allah as rivals to Allah. They love them as they love Allah, but those who believe love Allah more than anything else. And the fourth kind of shirk is shirk of ta'a, shirk of obedience. Obeying someone against the authority of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا. In Surah Al-Tawbah, Surah 9, Ayah 31, they, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala giving the story of the Jews and the Christian rabbis and monks, and what the followers of the Christians, of those religious leaders have done. They, the Jews and Christians, took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords. Why? Obeying them in things that they made lawful or unlawful according to their own desires and not according to the orders of Allah. So they have set them as lords beside Allah, and they also took as their Lord Jesus, son of Mary, while they, the Jews and the Christians, were ordered in the Torah and the Gospel to worship none but one God, Allah. There is none to be worshipped but He. Praise and glory be to Him. Far above is He from having the partners they associate with Him. This is in Surah Al-Tawbah, Ayah 31. The Prophet ﷺ said, لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. حديث صحيح رواه أحمد. There can be no obedience to any created human being if it contradicts the obedience to the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is an authentic hadith collected by Imam Ahmad. The fifth kind of shirk is shirk al-hulul, the shirk of dwelling.
This is the belief that Allah is united with His creation. This doctrine defines Allah as dwelling in various forces and workings of the universe. The mystic sect of Sufism and its famous preacher Ibn Arabi, who lived in the years 560 to 638 of Hijra, and this is the year Hijra is the first day. The first day of this calendar is the day when the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam migrated to Medina from Mecca. This preacher called Ibn Arabi adopted similar beliefs. He was a mystic Sufi. And some Sufi people think that their colors are under divine revelation. Most of these beliefs originated in India and Persia and are philosophical in nature. Christians after Jesus, peace be upon him, adopted the concept of dwelling, halul, and called it incarnation. To them, Jesus is God incarnate. Allah is high above what they attribute to him. Allah is above on his arsh, on his throne, distinct from his creation. He most high knows everything. He sees everything, the hidden and the manifested. He encompasses everything, but does not dwell in anything. The concept of incarnation contradicts the perfect attributes of Allah. No one with the simplest common sense would like to think of Allah united with a human being, because it necessitates a change of his attributes from the divine and perfect to that of the imperfect human. All creation is in need of Allah, the Creator. He says to the matter, be, and it will be. He is most glorified in his names and attributes. And the sixth kind of shirk is the shirk of tafarruq. And it means shirk in running the affairs. To believe that there are some people who can run the affairs of the universe. This is shirk. The Sufi mystics call such people aqtar. Know that those who committed shirk in Arabia at the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam knew that Allah alone is the one who controls and runs the affairs of the universe. In this aspect, they are better, quote unquote, than those who believe in the aqtar. They had, however, set up intermediates between them and Allah, those pagan Arabs, committing shirk in worship, calling their intermediates or intermediates for help and aid, etc. They did not commit the shirk in rububiyyah, meaning they testified that Allah is the true Lord, sustainer, provider, creator, the one who runs the affairs, etc., and the perfect master. Ar-Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying about them, وَمَنْ يُدَبِّرُ الْأَمْرَ فَسَيَقُولُونَ اللَّهِ. In Surah Yunus, Surah 10, Ayah 31, and who rules and regulates the affairs, they would say Allah. But these aqtab and these Sufis from the different tariqa, Tijani, Naqshbandi, Dilani, etc., they feel that their sheikhs have, or that the world is run by seven such aqtab, and to them everything does not escape their decision or their control. Wa'ayyadu billah. And the seventh aspect of shirk is the shirk in shirk al-khawf, the shirk of fear, commit kufr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَمْ لَهُمْ شُرَكَاءُ شَرَعُوا لَهُمْ مِنَ الدِّينِ مَا لَمْ يَأْذَنْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. In Surah 42, Ayah 21. Or have they partners with Allah who have made laws for them in religion that which Allah allowed not? Those who are convinced that the laws of Allah are the most perfect and most beneficial laws, but violate them because they, A, number one, and two, be careful. We are talking about group people or those who are convinced, rulers or otherwise, that the laws of Allah are the most perfect and most beneficial laws, but violate them because, number one, want to inflict harm upon someone or achieve some worldly gains for another. They commit what is called zulm. And zulm is a form of al-kufr al-amali, practical kufr. The kufr of the latter degree, which doesn't take the Muslim out of Islam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الظَّالِمُونَ. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Surah 5, Ayah 45, and whosoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, such are al-zalimun, those who commit zulm. Or they have certain desires or self-interests. They commit what is called fisq, which is another form of al-kufr al-amali, the lesser form of kufr, which does not take the Muslim out of Islam, and it does not make them therefore non-Muslim. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. In Surah Al-Ma'idah, Ayah 47, and whosoever does not judge by what Allah has revealed, then such people are the fasiqun, those committing fusq. And the practical
kufr, the practical kufr, is major wrong, is a major wrong that may encourage the person to commit further transgression that will lead him to reject the laws of Allah without conviction. On the other hand, Muslims are called not to hasten and judge that such and such person, ruler or otherwise, is kafir until proof are very well established and after they are advised about the seriousness of their practices. There are special notes. Number one, the deeds of a person committing major shirk will be in vain. قال تعالى ولقد أوحي إليك وإلى الذين من قبلك لئن أشركت ليحبطن عملك ولتكونن من الخاسرين. سورة الزمر آية سورة الزمر آية سورة 39 آية 65. And indeed it has been revealed to you, O Muhammad, as it was to those before you, saying, if you join others in worship with Allah, then rule, or then surely all your deeds will be in vain, and you certainly be amongst the losers, or among the losers. This ayah is addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it is, so how about the ordinary Muslim? If it is this ayah is addressed to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so how about the ordinary Muslim? It is therefore a must that we know all aspects of our belief, and particularly Tawheed and its opposite shirk. Allah warned Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about this issue so vividly in Surah Az-Zumar, Surah 39, Ayah 65, and therefore it is for us a big lesson to be aware of. Second note, Allah does not forgive those committing major shirk unless they sincerely repent and dissociate themselves completely from it. The Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ مَاتَ لَا يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةَ وَمَنْ مَاتَ يُشْرِكُ بِاللَّهِ شَيْئًا دَخَلَ النَّارَ. حديث صحيح رواه أحمد ومسلم. He who dies without associating anyone, anything with Allah will or would enter al-Jannah. And he who dies associating anyone or anything with Allah would enter hellfire. This is an authentic hadith collected by Ahmad and Muslim. And Anas radiallahu anhu, he said, on the authority of Anas, who said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, Allah the Almighty has said, O son of Adam, so long as you call me alone and ask of me alone, I shall forgive you for what you have done. And I shall not mind. O son of Adam, were your sins to reach the clouds of the sky? And were you then to ask forgiveness of me, I would forgive you. O son of Adam, were you to come to me with sins nearly as great as the earth? And were you then to face me, ascribing no partners to me, لا تشرك بي شيئا, I would bring you forgiveness nearly as great as it, meaning as the earth. Collected this hadith by At-Tirmidhi, who said it is a good and sound hadith. This is not, of course, an open road for committing major sins. Allah may or may not, and He is the most just and all wise, punish some Muslims who die without repenting from major sin. In case of punishment, no Muslim shall eternally stay in hell. Because of their belief in Tawheed, those punished will be removed from hell and brought to live an eternal life in Al-Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ said, في حديث عن أبي سعيد الخدري قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أما أهل النار الذين هم أهلها فإنهم لا يموتون فيها ولا يحيون. It is reported by Abu Sa'id al-Khudri that the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, the permanent inhabitants of the fire are those who are doomed to it, and verily they would not die nor live in it. ولكن الناس منكم أصابتهم النار بذنوبهم أو قال بخطاياهم فأماتهم الله تعالى إماتا حتى إذا كانوا فحما أذن للشفاعة فجاء بهم ضبائر فبثوا على أنهار الجنة ثم قيل يا أهل الجنة أفيضوا عليهم فينبتون نبات الحبة تكون في حميل السيل. حديث صحيح رواه مسلم. But the people whom the fire would afflict temporarily or on account of their sins, or so said the narrator, on account of their misdeeds, he would cause them to die till they will be turned into charcoal. Then they will be granted intercession, and be brought in groups, and would be spread on the rivers of Al-Jannah, and then it would be said to them, O inhabitants of Jannah, pour water over them. Then they would sprout forth like the sprouting of seed in the slip carried by flood. This hadith is collected by Muslim. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يدخل أهل الجنة الجنة وأهل النار النار. ثم يقول الله تعالى أخرج من كان في قلبه مثقال حبة من خردل من الإيمان. حديث متفق عليه والله للبخاري. When the people of paradise will enter Al-Jannah and the people of hell will go to hell, Allah will order those who have had faith equal to the weight of grain of mustard seed to be taken out from hell. The second aspect of shirk, or the second kind of shirk, is the minor shirk. And it is a major sin. It could lead to major shirk. It does not, however, make the Muslim a kafir, that is not Muslim. The one who commits a major sin remains a Muslim unless he disregards Allah's prohibitions and makes it permissible for himself to indulge in sin. In this case, he exits the fold of Islam. And the following are Islamically considered as acts of minor shirk. Number one, minor riyah, minor showing off or pretendence. The Muslim prays for Allah and works for Allah. When he starts, however, to make acts of worship better only because someone else is present, he commits minor riyah. Any act of worship or religious deed done to gain praise, fame, or for worldly purposes is an act of riyah. However, if the intentions are completely devoted to achieve gains in this world, then this becomes major shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. Surah Al-Kahf, Surah 18, Ayah 110. So whoever hopes for the meeting with his Lord, let him work righteousness and associate none as partner, as a partner in the worship of his Rabb, his Lord. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith sahih narrated by Ahmed, the thing I fear most for you is the minor shirk, al-riyah. On the day of reckoning, when Allah rewards mankind according to their deeds, he will say, go to those whom you used to show off your deed and find out whether you have any reward with them. The second aspect of this minor riyah is making an oath by other than Allah, al-shirk of ghayrillah. This is the minor shirk. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ حَلَفَ بِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ أَشْرَكَ. In the hadith narrated by Ahmed, and it is authentic, whoever makes an oath by other than Allah, then he has committed shirk. This could take the form of major shirk if the person believes that the one by which the oath is being made could either benefit or harm or have divine attributes. And then the third aspect of this minor shirk is الشرك الخفي, inconspicuous shirk. This is like saying, had I done or not done such and such, or had I said such and such, I would have succeeded. It still implies being inwardly dissatisfied with the inevitable condition that has been ordained for one by Allah. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu explained, it is as saying to someone, Allah wills and you will, I shall do such and such. Also, if someone says, had it not been for Allah and for you, naming a person, I would have not been able to perform such and such. And the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, لا تقولوا ما شاء الله وشاء فلان ولكن قولوا ما شاء الله ثم شاء فلان. حديث صحيح رواه أحمد وغيره. Do not say had Allah and such and such person will, but instead say had Allah then such and such person will. This is an authentic hadith collected by Ahmed and others. He صلى الله عليه وسلم further warned that الشرك فيكم أخفى من دبيب النمل وسأدلك على شيء إذا فعلته أذهب عنك صغار الشرك والكبارة فقول اللهم إني أعوذ بك أن أشرك بك وأنا أعلم وأستغفرك لما أعلم. حديث جاء في صحيح الجامع في المجلد الأول رقم 694. Shirk is, in the Muslim nation, is more inconspicuous than the creeping of the black ant. And I shall tell you about something if you do. You will shout both the minor and the major shirk. You say, this dua, yani, oh Allah, I seek refuge in you from associating in you anyone or anything will I know. And I seek your forgiveness in the things that I do not know. There are some forms of shirk that are spread amongst the people, like calling other than Allah, prophet, a pious man, a dead leader, a dead scholar, etc. Burying righteous men in mosques, also circulating around graves in or outside mosques, or touching these graves for blessing, or seeking their help, etc. All of these are acts of shirk. And some may raise the question, why the Prophet ﷺ grave is in a mosque? And to clarify this matter, there are four facts that need to be known. Number one, the Prophet ﷺ was buried in the room of his wife Aisha, and her apartment was not a mosque. Two, the Prophet ﷺ established the mosque during his lifetime outside the apartment of Aisha. Three, it is the Prophet ﷺ who had prohibited the establishment of mosques on grave sites. He said, لعن اليهود لعن الله اليهود والنصارى اتخذوا قبور أنبيائهم مساجد. متفق عليه. The curse of Allah be upon the Jews and the Christians. They have taken the great sites of their prophets as masajid, places of worship. This is a hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim. 4. The historical fact remains that during the Khilafah ruling period of Al-Walid bin Abd al-Malik, in the year 86-96 Hijra, equivalent to 705-715 in the modern calendar, there was an expansion of the mosque site, and he, may Allah forgive him, included the apartment of Aisha radiallahu anha. The companions of the Prophet ﷺ were careful about keeping the mosque and Aisha's apartment separate. In fact, when Umar and Uthman expanded the Prophet mosque for the first time, they did not include the grave in their plans. As it stands now, people are not allowed to perform any innovation in religion facing the grave site. The excuse taken by those who bury the pious and righteous men inside mosques is therefore invalid. And the action of incorporating the apartment within the mosque's limit is wrong, but never it was intended to produce scenes of shirk practices. Of course, slaughtering and or offering money to the so-called pious people and taking vows to others than Allah is shirk. يُوفُونَ بِالنَّذْرِ وَيَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا كَانَ شَرُّهُ مُسْتَطِيرًا. They perform their vows to Allah alone, and they fear a day whose evil will be widespread. In Surah Al-Insan, Surah 76, Ayah 7. The Prophet ﷺ warned, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ مَنْ ذَبَحَ لِغَيْرِ اللَّهِ, in the hadith collected by Bukhari and Muslim. The curse of Allah be upon whoever offers a slaughtering to other than Allah. Praying, for example, towards grave is forbidden because the Prophet ﷺ said, لَا تَجْلِسُوا عَلَى الْقُبُورِ وَلَا تُصَلُّوا إِلَيْهَا. Hadith صحيح رواه مسلم. In the hadith collected by Muslim, which is authentic, do not sit on the graves and do not pray facing towards them. There is also shirk in hakimiyya, shirk in legislation, where some rulers have adopted man-made laws and, underline this, wholeheartedly support such laws. This is major shirk. And there are evils of the shirk. It is an insult, number one, for human intellect and dignity. Allah has honored the children of Adam and put the resources of earth and heavens under man's disposal. Those who have taken part of this creation to be rival gods with Allah have insulted their faculties with ignorance. What would you say to someone who chooses to worship a river, a cow, grave, sun, moon, or other human? The following ayah in the Quran is the best advice. وَالَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ لَا يَخْلُقُونَ شَيْئًا وَهُمْ يُخْلَقُونَ أَمْوَاتٌ غَيْرُ أَحْيَاءٍ وَمَا يَشْعُرُونَ أَيَّانَ يُبْعَثُونَ. In Surah Al-Nahl, Surah 16, Ayah 21. Those whom they, the pagans, etc., invoke besides Allah have not created anything but are themselves created. They are dead, lifeless, nor do they know when they will be raised up. It is also the evil of shirk is that it's an open way for superstitious things and, you know, opens the way for superstitions and falsehood. Those who believe that there is influence in this universe by other than Allah, example by stars, jinn, ghosts, spirits, etc., their minds become open to adopt every superstition. They believe in magic, sorcery, witchcraft, soothsayers, astrology, numerology, fortune cookies, and signs of zodiac. It is a vicious cycle. They are afraid even to take an elevator that goes to number 13. Number 4. Shirk is a grave injustice, because the mushrik, the one who commits shirk, had made himself a slave to a created being like himself. The mushrik gives certain rights to the rival that he has set beside Allah, and this is unjust. Shirk is also a source of fear and delusion. The person who accepts superstition and other forms of falsehood becomes dependent upon many false deities. He enters a state of fear because false deities are unable to bring him any good when they are unable to defend themselves in the first place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, سَنُلْقِي فِي قُلُوبِ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الرُّعْبَ بِمَا أَشْرَكُوا بِاللَّهِ مَا لَمْ يُنَزِّلْ بِهِ سُلْطَانًا وَمَأْوَاهُمُ النَّارُ وَبِئْسَ مَثْوَى الظَّالِمِينَ. We shall cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve, because they joined others in worship with Allah for which He has sent down no authority. Their abode will be the fire. And how evil is the abode of the wrongdoers. In Surah Al-Imran, Ayah 151, which is Surah 3. Also, shirk makes the mushrik dependent upon his false deity or deity. The mushrik's motivation to do good deeds will be inactivated. He will not hesitate to do wrong, believing that his false deity will intercede for him. وَيَعْبُدُونَ مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ مَا لَا يَضُرُّهُمْ وَلَا يَنْفَعُهُمْ وَيَقُولُونَ هَؤُلَاءِ شُفَعَاؤُنَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ قُلْ أَتُنَبِّئُونَ اللَّهَ بِمَا لَا يَعْلَمُ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَلَا فِي الْأَرْضِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى عَمَّا يُشْرِكُونَ. In Surah Yunus 10, verse 18, and they worship beside Allah nothing that can hurt them, that can hurt them not, nor profit them, and they say, these are our intercessors with Allah. Say, do you indeed inform Allah with which He knows not, in heavens or in earth, or on the earth? Glory be to Allah, Him alone, and far is He above the partners they associate with Him. That's what Christians have done with Jesus, peace be upon him. They believe that Jesus wanted to die on the cross for the redemption of mankind and for the forgiveness of their sins. This is the doctrine of Paul, who argued that, quote, atonement by law required complete obedience for which man was incapable. And he introduced Jesus, peace be upon him, as the redeeming power, providing, quote, atonement for sinners who believe in him. Jesus, alayhi salam, peace be upon him, according to this concept of Paul, was, quote unquote, sacrifice to reconcile man's sin, or man's sin. This is an ill opinion of Jesus and the Lord of Jesus Allah, thus forgiving the most merciful. According to the biblical text, there are strong references that contradict Paul's doctrine. Jesus asked God Allah to turn away the cup of death away from him, as in Matthew chapters 26 and 27. The text itself is incredible. It says, O God, if it is possible for you, let this cup pass from me, meaning the cup of death, then let it pass. Could these words become from a believer, or come from a believer, let alone a prophet of God? All prophets believe that Allah has the power over everything. It is also incredible to read the following text according to Jesus. Quote, my God, why you had forsaken me, in Matthew 27, number 46. If Jesus knew, underline the word knew, he had to be sacrificed, or he had to sacrifice himself for the sake of humanity, then he should have remained silent, when, as Christians claim, he was put on the cross. Another incredible text confirms that God Allah is the only Savior. It says, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I even am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. And this is in Isaiah 43, verses 10-11. Certainly Allah saved Jesus from death and lifted him up to him in heaven. وقوله إنا قتلنا المسيح عيسى ابن مريم ورسول الله رسول الله وما قتلوه وما صلبوه ولكن شبه لهم وإن الذين اختلفوا فيه لفي شك من ما لهم به من علم إلا اتباع الظن وما قتلوه يقينا بل رفعه الله إليه وكان الله عزيزا حكيما. In سورة النساء سورة 4 verses 157-158. And for there the Jews saying in boost, we killed the Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the messenger of Allah, but they killed him not nor crucified him, but the resemblance of Jesus was put over another man, and they kill that man. And those who differ therein are full of doubts, with no certainty of knowledge, but only conjectures. For of surety they killed him not, that is Jesus, son of Mary, but Allah raised him, Jesus, up with the body and soul unto himself, and he, Jesus, is in Jannah, in heaven, in paradise, and Allah is ever all-powerful, all-wise. Shirk is the cause for the eternal abode in the fire of hell, and the complete loss of deeds in the life of this world. And if shirk is a cause of division in the Muslim nation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا كُلُّ حِزْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ. In Surah 30, Surah Al-Rum, Ayah 32, and be not of those who ascribe partners to Allah, of those who split up their religion, that is, who left the Tawheed, and became sects, that is, they invented new things in the religion, bid'ah, and followed their vain desires, each rejoicing in what, or in that which is with it. Finally, we are called to avoid shirk. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَخَدِمْنَا إِلَى مَا عَمِلُوا مِنْ عَمَلٍ فَجَعَلْنَاهُ هَبَاءً مَنْثُورًا. And we shall turn to whatever deeds they did, and we shall make such deeds as floating dust scattered about. All of the deeds of the mushrik are scattered dust. We call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from shirk and to keep us on tawheed. Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salamu ala rasulillah.